happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually. Wow. Did you just watch that guy ride the bull on TV? That's quite a knack, getting on a bull, sitting on top of those sweaty, dirty, smelly things. They really do smell, folks. I've been up around bucking bulls, and I've been hanging out with cowboys for the last couple of days, so my flavor of language may take us back into thinking about smells and touch and feel. I like to feel things mentally. I don't really like talking because I find words rather defining, limiting. And so when I'm around animals, I don't really talk to the animal verbally. I actually mentally talk to them. And it's funny how you get a feeling. It won't be like a sentence or, reading a book. It's a feeling. And if you're honest with yourself, you start to grow and develop that feeling, and it becomes this intuitive gift. It's an honesty. It's an honesty that I think we need to be tapping into a lot more, because when we listen to that honesty, we tend to not make mistakes, not waste time, and we actually tend to live through some pretty harrowing experiences. Now, these cowboys that put their legs over the top of these bulls kind of scare me, because I don't know if they actually know what they're doing or they have a death wish. But they will get out there and they will use their intuitive know-how, not the consciousness, but the subconscious body, the survival skills of knowing how to stay on top of that bull as it swings around and twists and kicks and torques his body. And there's just no way I would know how to do it. I wouldn't be able to think fast enough to adjust my seat or to know how to pull up on the rope that goes around the body of the cow, or sorry, the bull, to hold myself on. Because you see, to ride a bull, you have to stay centered, right? Centered right over top of his spine. And you're actually very centered over his solar plexus, the chakra for the solar plexus. And when the bull dives down to buck, he's pulling down against the rope, against the arm of the cowboy. And the cowboy actually reaches and pulls up through his body so that his energy is going the opposite way. So to ride a bull, you have to stay centered and you have to know how to play the subconscious game of push me, pull you. That's what they're doing, is push me, pull you. And when they go opposite directions, they can stay together. But if the cowboy loses the rhythm of the bull and he's not pulling away from the energy of the bull, but he's actually pushing into the energy of the bull, he starts to twist and he starts to spin. And the next thing you know, he just looks like a spiral getting thrown through the air, just turning up there doing somersaults. And it would be great as long as he didn't have to land. But unfortunately, we all have to land, don't we? Mm-hmm. It's one of those bull ride days. Yep. I was a little upset when I was out there. I learned something about bull riding, and I'm just going to share this with you because maybe you need to share this with your friends. That a long time ago in the United States, the bull riders used to have a rope, and it would go around behind the elbows of the bull, and they were able to tighten it up, and they'd make a wrap around the palm of their hand, and they'd hang on to the rope and go out, and the bull would be able to do his job. Now, bucking a bull to me is not mean. It's kind of like a game, because I've actually met the bucking bulls, and they are so funny. They have great sense of humor. But every once in a while, you find one that's got this ugly look on his face, and you stand there and you mentally ask him what's wrong. And he says they're not playing fair anymore. And then when I was out talking with the cowboys, I find that they are not playing fair anymore. It's not the game it used to be. Now they have this way of putting on a rope, and it's called a Brazilian rope. And this rope wraps around the girth of the bull, but it wraps in different direction than the American bull rider's rope. And they pull this rope really, really tight, and they'll wait. And you will tell, if you ever watch it on TV, you will see the guy, he'll fidget with his hat, or he'll have a hard time getting his leg down around the bull's side so that they can open up the gate and his ride will start. Well, this takes forever. And what they're actually doing is they're waiting for this bull to exhale. And when the bull exhales, they pull this rope even tighter. And then they wrap it around the cowboy's hand. And then the gate opens up. And the bull charges out of the gate and spins around. And he's bucking and trying to do his job, which is to play topsy-turvy and push me, pull you with the cowboy. But the bull can't get a breath in. Well, let's put it this way. He can't fill his lungs up with as much air as he needs. And so the bull's out there trying to do his job. And he's not trying to hurt the cowboy. He's just trying to play the game. But now he can't possibly play the game and feel good about himself because he can't get the air in his body. And the cowboy's up there and he's looking great and he's doing his job and he's riding the push-me-pull-you game. And then when he's made the eight seconds, because the bull can't buck as hard because he can't breathe, then the cowboy does his great dismount because he's stayed with that bull for 8 seconds. And he lands on the ground and he looks up at the crowd. And if he's religious, he'll take his hat off and he'll bless himself and thank God for his safety. But what about the bull? The bull was just asked to go for 8 seconds and exert himself and to go into an anaerobic state, which is where his body can't, his muscles can't burn oxygen to fire anymore. They actually have to go in and burn sugars. And they get toxic and they get stiff and they get sore. It's not a natural state for the bull to work in. And it deflates the animal's self-esteem. Because once upon a time, it used to be man and beast. And it was a game. And it was fun. But now it's not. It's not fun at all. And the bulls aren't happy. Because it's not fair. Kind of like what we do toward horses, too. We used to work naturally with the horses. And everything used to be great. Used to ride with, you know, a string around the jaw and maybe a blanket on their back. And we were better balanced. We were straighter in our body. And the horse was straight in his body. So we didn't have as many conflicts as we do today. But we were able to work with the horse. And I don't know what happened. I stand back in absolute awe some days. I see people do the darndest things. I see people put hobbles on the hock, which is that pointy out part of the back leg of the horse, and take a rope. Hobble both hind legs, take a rope, run it through the stirrups of the saddle, then take it up to where the bit is, tie that rope really tight so that the horse has to bring his chin to his chest, and they'll tie all that off, leave the horse out in this, what they call a round pen, which is a circle fence, and it's a training area, and they'll let that horse walk around for maybe a day with his head in an unnatural position, and he can't get away from his pain. So when they say breaking a horse, yeah, these days we break horses. We don't train them. We break them. We create mechanical horses. Yeah. Mechanical, because we actually have to use mechanical devices to train them. And we have mechanical horses because we have to, not fix them, but actually change their center of gravity so that they can do their job and make man look good. Just like the bull and the cowboy. So what are we actually doing? We lose in touch with ourselves? Or are we afraid of nature? I actually think we're afraid of nature. I think if we actually looked at how we interact with nature these days, you would sit back and just shake your head. How many of you are afraid to go and touch a dog? How many of you go out for a walk, not in the park in the city, but actually put yourself in the car and go for a ride and find a national forest or a park? And you don't have to walk anywhere. Just find a picnic bench. Sit down. Do a meditation out there. Just sit still. Take some pictures. Think about all the problems you dealt with at home. All the stuff that's going on in life. Run your grounding cord. Run your spiritual cord. And while you're at it, open up all your chakra lines. Your head, your third eye, base of your throat, your heart chakra, your solar plexus. Go down. Go down to your second chakra, your creative power, your first chakra, knowing who you are, the survival, your core to the earth. Ground your feet. Open the chakra lines in your feet and your hands. And breathe in the resonant value of who you are. Because you see, we tend to see ourselves as isolated, all by ourselves. It's just me against the world. No, it's not. There's nothing that much different between you and the guy five rows down on the streetcar. You share parallel life experiences. You share the same lack and the same need. But we are so isolated. We're afraid to see ourselves. And we're being pulled away from our animals. We're pulled away from the truth of interacting with our dog, with our cat. Oh, it's a cat. Yeah, it runs my life. It picked me. I'm special. Actually, yes, you are. Because cats are special. They vibrate at a very, very high frequency. They're very soothing. They're extremely intelligent. And they're independent. And it's everything we can do in our nature to allow the cat its right for its natural independence. If you're a dog person, it's hard to live with a cat because the dog looks for you at you and says, "I will let you be my leader because I know you need me to follow. You need somebody to be in charge of. You need somebody that allows you to find your love." And a cat is a little different. It's like, "I'm the leader. And you're actually blessed with my presence. And I'll let you find your way. And if you're brave enough to look at yourself, I'll actually let you share some of my secrets. I'll show off and play for you. I'll make you laugh. And when you touch me, I will help to heal and ground your energy." So you have two different animals, and they vibrate at different frequencies. But they both allow us to find who we are and how to love ourselves. That is, if we're balanced enough to do that. Looking inside often shows you where your weaknesses are. And sometimes, most of the times, we don't want to look there. We don't want to see what's inside. It's just a little too scary. We might actually see something we don't like. Because we're told we're created in the image of God. We are ultimate perfection. And we've been educated. The elephant trainer taught us that God is perfect and man is not. So we're not perfect. Okay, what do we do about it? Well, we work towards finding out why we're not perfect. And one of the things why we're not perfect is we've set ourselves above everything else that's on this planet. And yet we have a really important role to play. We're the healer. We're the animal with the opposing thumb. We're the one that can open the door. The animals need us to play fair, to honor them. And they don't mind playing the game at the rodeo, as long as it's fair. The bucking horse, yeah, it hurts for a split second, but he gets his gratitude when the cowboy hits the dirt. Some of them don't get up too fast. That animal walks off going, yep, got another one. But you see, in the reality, if you don't treat the animal fair, at least in my world, working with horses, if you don't treat them fairly, if you don't work with an open and trusting heart, you will find out that the dumb animal that we've all been led to believe exists on this planet is not so dumb at all. I have had horses who I have not listened to, and I have gotten on their back and gone down and tried to do something that they physically couldn't do or weren't feeling well enough. And at that time, my inner clarity didn't really guide me to listen to the animal. I was the super smart human. I'm out there to do the super smart human thing. And I will tell you, I might accomplish the super smart human thing, but whether I stayed on the horse or when I got off the horse, there was always some type of consequence for not listening to the partnership I was supposed to be honoring. I can tell you how many broken toes I have on my foot. Yep. But you just see, when a horse steps on your foot, it's not by accident. Horses are extremely preconceived animals. So I used to have a mare. When she was mad at me, she'd step on my foot. And she wouldn't just step on it and take her weight off. No, she'd step on it, stand on it. Then she'd kind of twist the foot just to grind the bones just a little bit. And then take her foot off and smile at me. Yep, what a joy that was. I'll never forget that horse. She taught me a lot. I'm going to take a break for right now, and I'll be back in a few minutes because we're going to go into talking about how to be fair with our animals. Be back soon.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Hey everybody, I'm back. It's Patricia Cleveland and it's Isologic Radio. If you're trying to find me, you can write me at bphcleveland@gmail.com and you can also find me at thebalancedhorseproject.net. I work with animals and I try to educate people not so much on the physical side but the emotional and the energetic value, and to also help animals go through a process called rebirthing. It's kind of cool. It helps to bring balance into the animal's life. It actually helps to bring balance into the owner's life. Because you see, everything to me right now is really out of balance. How we are treating some of our animals just makes my head spin. I don't understand people sometimes, but I guess I'm not supposed to because we're all different and we see life differently and where we live isn't the same and, you know, we have different expectations of what our animals are supposed to be in life. It's kind of hard when you go into the city and you see people who love and care for their animals. They're like family members. They really, really love their animal. And then I go out to other places, like the racetrack, and you have the groom, and he really, really loves the horse. I mean, he's doing the best he can for the horse. And then he has to be accountable to the trainer. And the trainer is trying to do the best for the horse, but he's accountable to the owner and the bank. And when you start putting money in there and you start putting ownership on things, we have some conflicts that happen because greed gets in the way, money gets in the way. And as soon as you put an animal in an environment where money is involved, guess who loses? It'll be the animal every time. He either loses the quality of his freedom, his life, his social interaction with his herd or with animals of his species. He may lose the ability to actually be a truly natural animal so that he can be basically put in a position where he's less than who he actually is so that he can be controlled, so that he can be humanized, so that he can be in somebody's life and hold that person's ego up. Now, animals go through a lot to hold us together. They do hold us together. They hold us emotionally together. Some animals actually hold us physically together. They can tell when there's a state of disease. They can tell when there is an emotional upset. I can remember as a young girl going out to the barn after being ridiculed at school for being different, and I didn't talk to my girlfriend. I didn't talk to my parents. No. I went out to the barn and pulled up a pail, sat in front of my horse while he ate grass, and I poured my heart and soul out to that animal. And whether it meant anything to him or not, I can't tell. But I do know that he knew when I was having a good day and when I was having a bad day. And so I kept that horse in my life for a long time. His name was Rusty. And I got to the point where Rusty was such a good listener that I decided to take and use him as a personal gauge as to whether and whoever I should interact with. So when I started dating, all my boyfriends had to go to the barn, and they all had to meet Rusty, because Rusty never lied to me. Now, my parents would be going, oh, you need to go out with this guy because so-and-so and such, or all my girlfriends would be, he's so cute, don't you just like him? You should go out with him. I would take all these people up to meet my horse. And it would be really interesting how many of these big, strong guys were absolutely backed off by a little chestnut horse with a blonde mane and tail. So the psychic energy that they exuded didn't match the horse. And the horse was so strong in his own natural presence that he actually intimidated these people. And I knew that if they weren't natural in their own selves, that I would have to change who they were to be in partnership with them. And so they weren't candidates for me to date. So, you know, honoring the animal and the value he has and his instinctive knowing about who's grounded and who's not, who's whole, who's coming from the heart, who's coming from the brain, is something that we're actually being disconnected and redirected from. And that's on TV. It's everywhere. I actually was shocked one day. I watched one of those morning news people, and they actually were terrified because of a dog. Another person was terrified because there happened to be a snake. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. People are terrified of the things, the very things in nature that if we didn't live in houses and big skyscrapers, and if we didn't have cars, we would have to depend on these animals. We would have to be in partnership with nature. What are you afraid of? Oh, you're afraid of seeing yourself. You're afraid of running up against an animal who is honest and self-aware and have that animal say, guess what? You're not good enough to be in my presence. You need to go and do some work. Is that what you're afraid of when you look at nature? Are you afraid of being rejected? Are you afraid of being hurt because the animal doesn't like you? And therefore you have to put forward the idea that you need to be afraid of it so that you can take action before the animal takes action and not physically hurt you, but energetically wounds you. Wow. What have we become? What have we become? We're afraid of not the animal. We're afraid of ourselves. And when you stop and really think about that, when you're afraid of yourself, it won't matter where you live. It won't matter how many people you have around you, or whether you have a gun, or whether you have, I don't know, a guardian angel. If you're afraid of yourself, you're your own worst enemy. You're controllable by things that see your fear. There's lots of times people bring animals here to the farm. My favorite one is I get these ladies and they might weigh, about 110 pounds. And their horse is huge. It might weigh, 1,400 to 1,600 pounds. Big horse. Little women. I think it's kind of a control. Look how powerful I am as a being because I can control this big horse and I'm little. These horses come off the horse trailer and the owner will have them on this lead shank and walking them around and the horse will look over to the left and pull the tension on the line and the human is kind of staggering to hold space and ground while the horse swings around to see all the other animals on the property. And then the head will get even higher. And the horse will bellow and dance and prance because horses like to show off. That's their introduction to everything else that they are new to. It's like, see me? See me? This is who I am. Meanwhile, hunched down, holding on to the rope frantically, is a 110-pound woman going, yes, this is my horse. I'm in control of this big horse. And as an energetic person, I stand back and I quietly watch the game the horse plays. It's called human on a string. A horse is totally capable of doing whatever he wants with that human on the rope. And yeah, he might get a bump on the nose. He might get yelled at. He might get things, waved at him. But that horse is totally in control of his environment, of the human on the string, and what he wants to accomplish. So when you treat an animal on an energetic level with awareness and respect, you change this interaction of fear and doubt because when you start to ground into who you are, not give your energy outwards. It's not push the love towards the dog, push the love towards the horse. No. It's pull the love in to who you are. Love inside yourself. Ground into your heart. And when that energy of love, who you are, it's kind of like you give yourself a big hug. And what it does is it slows down this frantic vibration that we all experience because of all this artificial human harmonics that we're producing. We can become still. We can feel the essence of who we are. Even if it's for a brief split second. And that window of stillness merges and expands and it radiates outwards and it actually harmonizes. It's like a little key and it opens up a window into the animal's heart. It just takes one human split second to touch the heart of an animal. And when you allow that to happen, can't make it happen. You have to allow it. When you allow the key to open up the heart chakra between the two of you, even for that brief moment, that animal instinctively knows who you are. And he's going to do his best to start honoring who you are. Because you have shared the most important thing, yourself. Not what you want to be. Not what your job title is, not how smart you are, none of that. You've shared yourself. And the self in most animals' lives is not present. So you'll see people with dogs and they will have this really profound relationship with that dog. Or, for a split second in the life and the interaction with a cat, you will feel the heart of your cat. And it will be a comforting feeling. And it will wrap around your body. It will ooze into your frequencies. And be still. The cat will know you. The cat will feel you. Animals don't need to know us like, hi, I'm Sam Smith. I own the grocery store. I drive a Prius, okay? They don't need that. They need to feel who you are. And if you don't eat well, you're going to vibrate too much. Or if you have a cell phone on you, you're going to disrupt the organic or the natural field of who you are, and that's going to cause problems with the horse. So partnership with the animal is not an artificial thing. It's not the pat on the head and good boy and here's a cookie. No, it's being fair with yourself. It's being fair with the animal. It's looking at not how we can do better by the animal, but how we can be better. Now, sometimes it's easy to talk about all this. Sometimes it's harder to actually go out and do it. I spent some time up there in Massachusetts, and I ended up staying across from Walden's Pond all by serendipity, a serendipitous moment in my life. But it was very interesting because I went into the gift store to get something to remember my experience with. And in there was a bumper sticker, and it just said, simplify, simplify. And I've taken that to heart, because if you simplify who you are, if you break down who you actually are, if you get rid of all the physical descriptions, all the titles, oh, all the driven activities, all the accomplishments, and you get down to who you are, you'll be really, really amazed at how simple it is, how simple you are, And when we start looking at life, not from the complexities of science and, oh, you have this chemical reaction and that cellular response and all this other stuff, or the drama of, I don't know, social interactions, because everybody has something negative to share these days. It's hardly ever anything positive. If you get away from all that and just look at really who you are, who was that little kid that played out in the dirt once upon a time? Did you get to play in the dirt? I did. My mom used to dress me up in pink dresses and little white leotards and patent leather shoes and say, come on, we're going to go do this, and you're going to have to behave yourself and be a little girl. And I used to be the worst child in the world, because I used to take my little pink dress and my white stockings and my patent leather shoes, and I would go outside. We had a big hill in the backyard, get up to the top of the hill, and I'd lay down, and I'd roll and tumble all the way down. By the time I got to the bottom of the hill, my blonde ringlets were all full of grass. And my white leotards, oh, they were a commercial for laundry detergent. And my pretty pink dress would be wrinkled. And I would be unacceptable to go out to the social function my mother had intended me to attend. I was a bad child. I got out of as many things that were artificial as possible. Okay, well, it's time for me to take a little break here. I'll be back in a few minutes. Till then, enjoy the music.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Have you been touched by something greater than yourself, or maybe just a bigger part of who you are? Everything that we do, everything that we share is one great big party, except it's all broken down kind of like an ice cream tray, and not all the parts are touching right now. You say, okay, yeah, I can see that. I'm isolated from nature. Well, go take your shoes off and walk on the grass. That might make you feel a little more connected. It's actually been scientifically proven that you need to take your shoes and socks off and not stand on the pavement or cement. Go stand on the ground. And that actually helps to discharge some of that scattered energy that's causing your brain to bounce around quite so frantically. Might help shut off the voices in your head so you can go to sleep. Maybe you'll find yourself in your sleep. The honesty of being human is a pretty big responsibility, because we interact with everything in our reality, our animals. And we're using our animals basically because we can't find ourselves. So we use the energy field of our animals to hold ourselves up, make ourselves look important, provide ourselves with love. If you are a person that meditates, think about how you meditate. Do you meditate with your animal in your field? Does your dog sit with you when you meditate? Do you thank your dog in your meditations? Odds are no, because you're too busy thanking something else for helping you get through the day. You tend to forget about the things here in the physical plane that are actually parts of ourselves living in four-legged bodies. Have you thanked your animal? Have you gotten down on the floor, laid on the floor in the animal's world, and let them come up and honor you? Have you given them permission to touch you? Not you touch the animal, but the animal actually come up and cuddle with you. You share space. Try it. I do it with our dogs all the time. And it makes such a difference because I have a dog that will never run away from me. I travel across country. She can get out of my vehicle. She can walk around. She can do whatever she needs to do. But when I give her a little signal or make a noise, she's always right back with me because we're in partnership. She sees me. She understands me. She knows what I feel like. She knows that I'm imperfect, but that I've done my work. I'm still doing my work. I've closed my eyes. I've looked deep inside. And I've tried to find this little girl in the pink dress and the stained leggings. Curly blonde little girl. And she doesn't want to become human. Because she just wants to be the true essence of what I was supposed to be. And I lost that somewhere. We all lose that. It's called domestication of the human. It's where the elephant trainer takes us and says, this is what you should do, and this is what you will believe. And we do. Well, some of us do. And some of us pretend to. But the bottom line is it's reshaped a reality. And it's taken away our connection with really who we are and some of the hidden gifts that other beings know that we possess and don't want us to ever talk about or to become aware of. And I'll get into that in some later shows. But for right now, maybe when you do a meditation, simply try to find the child. Where is your child living? Why is your child hiding? Why can't your child use its imagination and play and create whatever it is that you want? My child does. I can walk into the most devastated situations. I can walk into things that normal people would say would be awful, would be disappointing. And I take that energy and I go, well, what's awful and disappointing? It's an opportunity. Let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's take it, shape it, make it into something that's usable and real and not dwell on the, oh, the drama, oh, the negative, oh, I feel so wounded, I feel so guilty, I let you down, whatever. Let's not go there because that's feeding something that's not human. You see, humans have emotion. They have creativity. And the biggest gift we have is imagination. And our animals want us to start using our imagination and create a better place and let ourselves out. I don't care if you're at home and you listen to music and you dance around and you just do the stupidest things. Your animal's going to love it because it's really who you are. And if you get really serious and you're into meditation, try this. Instead of standing or sitting, get down on all fours. That is, I mean, you can't get on your feet, but you can get on your knees and feel what it's like to be on all four legs. Feel it. Find your muscles. Do your core muscles have to work? Do you have a saggy back? Saggy belly. Hey, this is the best exercise known to man. Walking on 4 feet. Because you gotta have strong back and strong abdominal muscles. So, maybe this is where you need to meditate. And instead of running your grounding cord into the ground, run it towards the west. Towards the sunset. And place your head to the east. To the sunrise. Just like the horses do at the break of day and the set of sun. And as you're on your 4 feet, open up your chakras. Open up your power centers. And let them receive and radiate the essence of who you are. From your chest. From your third eye. From your throat. From your heart. From your creative center. From your primal center. Let them radiate who you are to the earth. Because you'd actually enjoy feeling who you are. And while you're down there, open up your back and receive energy. Receive all of the energy that is suitable to be received through your chakras, from the top of your body, from along your spine, from the back of your head. But put a filter there and make sure that only the energy, only the thing that is you, only your universal harmonics can be filtered and used through these chakras. And be on all fours and let go. You may find that tears come out your eyes, that your sinuses actually move. You may feel your core muscles pulse with the heartbeat. You may find your cat curled up around your knees, and your dog may be lying on the ground looking at you like, hey, this is cool. When you're done, can we play? Because I can see who you are. I know that you're trying to find out what it's like to be in connection, to know what nature is. If you have a horse, go to the barn. Shh, don't tell your friends. But if your horse is in a stall, take and clean out a place, put down some hay, and do the same thing. Get on all fours, okay, and do a meditation in the stall with your horse. Or if you're lucky and your horse is in a field, go out, lay down. Turn your heart to the sun and lay there and meditate and let it go. And when your horse comes up to you, don't have any fear. Because if you have been fair and you have been honest in life and you have tried to do the best that you can do, you have nothing to be afraid of. Nature will look after you. She will honor who you are. And your horse may come up and may put his nose down and blow air on you. Or he may take his nose and nuzzle you and bump you to see if you're alive. Because you're doing something that your horse, your dog, and your cat has never, ever seen a human do before. And you will change your resonance. And it will balance the brain's harmonics to enter into the natural grid of horizontal energy. And this is the energy that animals use to create their world. And we need to get back in touch with that energy because, you see, we're the creators of our world. We create a vertical world. Animals create horizontal worlds. And they need to work in partnership. And when the vertical world gets out of balance, and boy, are we out of balance, we need to get in touch with ourselves. And the best way to do that is to go back to our point of origin. I'm not getting into creation or evolution or anything like that. I'm getting into the energy grid. To get down to the basic harmonics of being alive. To connect who you are. To find out, geez, yeah, this is what it feels like. I don't have to think when I'm all four legs to the ground. I don't have to think like a human. I can just be on all four legs. Yeah. And you run different energy. And your body responds differently. And when you take a breath and you stand up and you go do your meditation, whether you sit or stand, it'll be different. There'll be silence. There will be places in your mind where there is peace. And when you ask to see the inner child, might not be hiding in the closet. Might actually peek out and say, yeah, big person, yep, I see you. But you're trying to be creative. You're trying to find me. Hey, I think I can come out and play. I can tell you stories about who you are and what you really wanted to be. I can tell you about, wanting to be really small and hide in the grass and watch the giant feet of a cow go by. Oh, maybe you don't want to see giant feet of a cow go by, but, you know, changing the perspective of how you see things changes how nature responds to you. It's nice to play fair, right? Nobody likes to cheat. Nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to be less than really who they see themselves as. And yet that's what we do every day. We do it to our animals. And we do it to ourselves. We do it to our partners. Guess what? We allow the big machine, the system, the educational system, the religious system, the political system, the financial system. Oh, we could go forever and ever on that. We let all these systems do the exact same thing to us. And so we have responsibility to be honest and let go and be us. So I'm going to say goodbye. This is Patricia Cleveland from ESA Logic Radio. You can find me every time you tap on BBS, Patricia Cleveland, and also bphcleveland@gmail.com. Bye.